Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the China Shop After Hours Edition. I've got company in town this weekend, so I really don't feel like spending half a day editing a full-blown roundtable. So tonight, Bear's going to join me here. We're just going to kind of shoot the shit for a little bit. Done minimal prep, so I have no idea what we're going to talk about, and I got to say I'm a little excited to get into it. Before I do that, though, I will just quick some show news updates. I did write this out. I did do a little prep. We are doing a big project in Boston for their Boston Blockchain Week. It is September 9th through the 13th. So if you are in that area, please stop by, come say hi. With that, though, there's going to be a lot of extra work on our end. So there's probably going to be some weeks that we're going to struggle to get our usual two episodes out. Hopefully y'all kind of bear with us here because this job is going to pay a lot more than this podcast currently does. So kind of has to be the priority for a little bit here. Bear, you got anything going on or anything you want to shout out before we dive into something?
I don't know. I'm spending my next 2 weeks in Vegas for Black Hat and DEF CON, colloquially. Wow, I'm good at that word. Also known as Hacker Summer Camp.
Oh, is that?
Every year.
What's it called?
The nickname is Hacker Summer Camp. Yeah. The main conference is DEF CON, which is in like year 34, 35 this year now.
What do they do?
It started out as a bunch of hackers getting together and just, you know, shooting the breeze and having fun and, some notorious alcohol abuse.
Okay, so typical conference.
You know, they went to Vegas because it was central and it's really cheap in the beginning of August because it's Vegas in August.
So what sort of things do hackers actually do? Because I thought like the majority of like actual hacking is really just trying to get somebody to give you a password by either emails or phone calls or trying to just impersonate somebody. Like just sneaking in.
Yeah, most of it is, well, I mean, it depends on what you're doing. It's a mixture of sneaking in versus just trying to find weaknesses in applications that can be exploited, whether it's to sneak in or then figure out a way to steal the data.
Okay. So
can we pause for a second? Just saw my dogs do something they're not supposed to do.
I'll just cut it out.
It's okay, easy enough. Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
Yep. Hold on.
Good.
Little dogs doing what they're not supposed to be doing. So I guess we'll find out. Dog might have eaten a turtle.
Oh, God. Oh, no. I might have to leave that in.
You might have to leave that in.
Shit. No, going back to the hacking stuff. I watched the movie Hackers. I'm pretty sure that's not what it's like, though, right? I mean, that's the point I try to get at. It's not somebody sitting at a keyboard just clinking away maniacally doing nothing.
A lot of it is. A lot of it is sitting down at the keyboard and just mashing and you know, it's really your wits against others.
So it is like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's definitely not like swordfish. Right. But okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was, that's what I was picturing. Sorry, not the hackers. Not the Angelus.
And there's all different sides of it. Mm-hmm. You know, actually I've had a lot more fun with the human side of it.
Yeah.
Of, you know, just going in and convincing people to do things that they shouldn't do, or, you know, and everything from just making yourself look like you belong somewhere where you're not supposed to be.
Yeah.
And getting away with it.
It is kind of fun. I think we've all like walked past like, you know, the employees only area and try to just look like you belong, see if you can get away with it. I've done that before.
Oh yeah. Yeah. One of my hobbies used to be sneaking backstage at concerts. I mean, big amphitheater sized concerts. And I was pretty good at it for a while.
What's the biggest concert you snuck backstage to?
I don't even remember what it was. It was one of these huge ones in Mountain View, California. Mm-hmm. You know, it was big, like, you know, 10 bands and I don't remember who the headliners were. There may have been some alcohol involved.
I bet. I remember we'd the radio station was called KFMA, so they did this big KFMA day down in Tucson for a couple of years, and I got tickets to it one year.
Nice.
Like, we were excited because Cypress Hill was going to be there, Billy Idol. There's a whole bunch of like big names. Kitty, oh, wow. I think, was big at the time. Cypress Hill came out with two bags, like two Ziploc baggies just full of joints, and just started throwing them out into the crowds.
Nice.
That's fucking hilarious.
Talk about setting the right? The mood of the room.
Now that'd be a fun guy to meet backstage.
Oh jeez. Yeah.
Okay, so off to a good start, right? Started out with a little bit of hacking.
Yeah.
I think we nailed it.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, DEF CON is really, like I said, it started out, a few hundred people, and mm-hmm. then thousands and then tens of thousands of people. But it's really, just a lot of people getting together and sharing information about, hey, this is what I've learned, this is what I've tried. I've been involved with some parts of that conference for more than 20 years. Yeah. So
what's the
in a lot of ways it's just a lot of fun, and it's a good spot. There's people that, back in my called three-letter days, there was people, and I lived in Northern Virginia. There was people that lived within like 10 miles of me. Mm-hmm. And because we worked at different places and different stuff, we never saw each other there, but we'd get together at DEF CON for a week every year. So a lot of fun.
That's pretty neat. What's the most useful thing that you've ever learned from one of these things? Not just for hacking, but for like real world tips to scam Comcast into getting your equipment back. something like that.
I mean, a lot of that really is the social engineering side. Yeah. It's, how to put yourself in their shoes and talk them into the result that's best for you.
Oh, can you walk me through an example of that?
Not off the top of my head.
Oh, damn. All right. I tried.
No, it just, a lot of empathy, which is, for somebody who's, kind of autistic and super introverted, is a huge challenge, which is probably one of the reasons I find it fun.
That makes sense. Do you struggle with like reading emotions?
Yes.
What is that like? Like, is it not being able to recognize facial cues? Like, what's the actual like disconnect?
Oh,
because like if you look at somebody who's smiling, you can tell they're happy, right?
Yeah, it's
the more subtle things.
It's the more empathy side.
Okay. It's
the
why you do that. Just do this, and it won't be a problem, kind of thing.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
I think a lot of us have some of that, though.
But then it's I look at myself and I'm like, okay, I can see the problem, I can see the solution. Why can't I apply it?
Right.
My trading is exponentially better when I, at night before I go to sleep, I use my I've got one of these EKG feedback headbands. Mm-hmm. That's literally monitoring my brain waves, and then it's giving me a soundscape. And what it's trying to do is teach me how to calm my mind.
Yeah.
It's calling it meditation, but it's teaching me how to calm my mind. Yep. Focus on my breathing, let go of everything. And it uses auditory clues. It's great. Mm-hmm. When your mind's going crazy, you hear these rainstorms and pounding down. And then as you calm your mind, the rain goes away, it gets quiet, and then you start hearing birds chirp.
Uh-huh.
And when I was doing that really well, when I was doing that every night, I'd sit here and I'd start trading, and I'm like, wait, I'm not calm. And I could close my eyes. Mm-hmm. I was calm enough to say, I don't need to look at my trading. I can close my eyes. I can listen for my calm. I can wait for it. And then I would come out of that and my trading would just be so much better.
Oh God, I know.
And I saw this. I can look at the dates. I can look at my notes. I can read my journal and know that like, this is an amazing thing that I could do.
And
doing that is so hard. Actually forcing myself to sit down and I don't know if it's a hubris thing or what, where I don't want to have to rely on that, but it's not relying on it. It's making myself better.
Sometimes I wonder if like I cling to things like bad habits because it's an actual excuse. Does that make sense? Like,
yes.
Well, if yes. I fix that, then I don't have my excuse anymore to not be successful. So if I do that and I'm not successful, then I'm failing.
Then maybe right? That's not yeah. it.
So maybe there's some of that.
Yeah. There's a twisty rabbit hole that, psychologists are, are well paid and they do a great job with.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've had a few conversations with performance coaches and psychologists that have just been immensely helpful. I still am struggling to implement some of those things.
Which ones?
A lot of it is just, you know, kind of doing those things that I know will improve my trading.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. My therapist, so I started working with a therapist directly about 2.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And one of the
Thank
things
you for
she pushes
saying that out loud, because as we talked to Sean Sawyer, oh, yeah. apparently that's still a stigma these days.
Oh, it's a huge stigma. Right. I'm old enough. I don't care.
I know, right? It's one benefit.
And I've seen the change. I mean, that's and this is directly related. She really likes to poke and prod me every about 4 to 6 weeks and go, why do you keep doing this trading thing? Mm-hmm. Why are you doing this?
Right.
And you know, you're not making money. You're chewing up a lot of time. You're frustrating yourself. And I sit and I'm like, yeah, but you know, compare to the person that you see today, to the, you know, the person you met 2.5 years ago. And I have improved in so many different aspects, emotionally, mentally,
not even trading related, like even outside of trading.
Yeah. Right? Not even trading related.
Yeah.
You know, just my ability to sit down and be calm and, you know, want to spend more time with my kids and to have the emotional, I guess you could call it emotional balance, mm-hmm. to sit down and go, hey, you know, let's look at this from your perspective.
Right.
You know, my son's 15 and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, he turned 16 and
oh, no.
doesn't want to do anything. And how do I work with him? How do I motivate him? I don't have great examples.
Yeah.
From my childhood.
Well, he sounds like me when I was a kid. My mom thought I was going to be just the most laziest, worthless piece of shit in the world. Like, she tells people this all the time still too. When I joined the military, she's like, how the fuck is that going to work? You can't be lazy in the military.
No shit.
But she never understood those that, like, I valued that free time. So I did, like, most of my philosophy throughout my working years was get all the work done as soon as possible so you can fuck off for as much time as possible.
Yeah, so you can maximize your enjoyment time.
Right. But, you know, and that's kind of why I did the Navy, you know, forced me to get like an education. Then I was able to get a good job out of that, sock away as much money as I could for the next 10 years. And now here I am in my 40s and in loving life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of one of the few regrets I let myself hold on to.
What's that?
Not joining the military.
Oh, well, you served in other ways though.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a long family history and, you know, my dad was a career officer. He retired 24 years, lieutenant colonel. Mm-hmm. My stepmom was in grandparents, great grandparents, all that stuff. So, you know, there's that long family history and I was like, kind of broke it. And really I tried straight out of high school. Unfortunately, it was the early 90s when they were doing drawdowns.
Yeah.
And so they're like, we don't really actually want anybody.
Right. Yeah, they actually got my dad out after 11 years. He just finished paying his bonus back to get his retirement.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I mean, I roll into the, I'm an 18-year-old kid straight out of high school. I roll into the offices and I've got an ASVAB test, mm-hmm. which, you know, 99s across the board.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, that's cool, but.
Wow.
And they're like, well, what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, I really want to fly helicopters. And they're like, cool, go get a college degree. And I'm like, but I don't want to get a college
degree.
That's why
I came to you.
Yeah. So I didn't have to do college. The Navy offered me a nuke program. And I'm like,
See, that's what I did.
I know. I could have done that.
Be glad you didn't. It was not that fun.
The Marine Corps was like, hey, field intel, and we'll give you, at the time it seemed like an insane amount of money. It was like $5,000, I think.
Yeah.
We're like, and we'll give you a $5,000 bonus. And, you know, I'm 18 years old. I can't even imagine $5,000. Right. I'm like, yeah, let's go.
Where do I sign?
And I call my dad, and my dad's like, I know you, and I know the military.
Right.
You go in as an enlisted, there's no chance in hell you're going to make it. And I'm like, but dad, dad, and my stepmom are both like, yeah, go to college and go in as an officer. You'll at least stand a chance. And I'm just like,
I thought the officers had it worse. They worked like way longer hours. They had way more responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were assholes, well, but that's because they had a bunch of 18-year-olds that they're responsible for.
Oh, gosh. No kidding. Oh, man, the stories I get from my dad.
Oh, God, but, I have a few of my own.
Yeah. I mean, at the time, this is easy to see now, you know, 30 plus years in the future.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I just needed somebody to kick my ass.
Yeah.
That's what I needed.
Yep.
And honestly, I can't even imagine what my life would be like if I'd gone through and joined the Marines and had somebody just kick my ass for 12 weeks of boot camp.
I don't think you would have
my shit out.
Been good at the Marine Corps. I think you would have been much better off in the Navy.
yeah.
Yeah. I think you're too smart. We'll never know.
We'll never know.
And that's nothing against
Marines. I love working with the Marines. They got some smart motherfuckers there.
Yeah, but you gotta be something special to do what those guys do. It's a lot easier just to duck your head underwater for a little bit and disappear for 3 months at a time.
Oh man. But yeah, I've got to work with all branches of the service and support them out in combat zones, and you know, so it's fun. I get to see the real world side of it. And I get to see the boring side of it, you know. You talk about lazy, man, the punishments they come up with for some of these guys.
God, my grandpa has told me some stories, and he was stationed in Okinawa after the Korean War. When they were guarding the prisoners of the brig, they'd take him out to this grassy hillside and make him just cut the grass with scissors all day long.
Oh, I'm not even talking. I'm talking about, you know, just, you know, privates that screw up.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So we're in, this is Bagram, Afghanistan, like 06, 07 timeframe.
Yeah.
And go rolling back. I was actually out there with my wife. That's a long story. But go rolling back to the our hut, mm-hmm. our literally plywood hut that we lived at. Oh, no, it's just plywood.
Not even that nice. Oh,
yeah. Oh, and no insulation northern Afghanistan. It was special.
Yeah.
But we're walking back and the headquarters, one of the little groups had their headquarters building right there next to the latrines.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm walking by and I'm like, that's kind of weird. There's these two soldiers sitting on the ground and they're like picking up rocks. And I'm like, wait, they've got Sharpies. Wait, they're numbering the rocks. What did you guys do?
Oh, shit.
You are numbering rocks. Wow. I love your sergeant because he's, oh man, he's brilliant.
God damn.
Evil genius.
I'm trying to think if we ever had anything crazy like that. Not that I can really remember, but I had the wrong mentality for boot camp. When I went in, I was more of the like, fuck the establishment. You can't tell me what to do kind of attitude that I still kind of have now.
Mm, yeah.
My boot camp was spent dodging basically my entire division for most of the time. Like, I think I maybe spent 50% of my time with our group, if that, and that might be a little bit high of an estimate.
Wow. How did you get away with that?
Well, in boot camp, they did, when you went in initially, like there is people that kind of screened you. They asked you if you had any like military history, if you played instruments for the special 900 divisions. They're the ones that do the ceremonies, the graduation ceremonies and shit.
Yep.
So they ended up sucking me into one of those, which was the flag group. Like we got to carry the state flags at like three different ceremonies.
Nice.
Yeah, actually, one of the ones was at the fountain from Married with Children, which is kind of neat. But so we were in that one to start with, which is already kind of like a step up. Like you get a little bit more extra responsibilities. Then on from there, they stuck me on the ship staff, which is the people that they kind of kick out to the building that you're in to help like run the watches there. So I didn't have to stand any of the watches with the rest of the group. But then I'd have random watches at different times. So like would they be going out to drill and I'd be like, sorry, I got to go get lunch. I got watch in an hour. Maybe I'd pass them as I'm coming back. Like, where are you guys going? It's like, oh, I'm just coming back from lunch. They're all going out to go drill. So I'm just sitting in an empty room.
You really, half the time. You excelled at mastering the bureaucracy.
Yes, I think that would be it. Yeah. We spent a lot of time. We made a deck of cards out of the sea bag tags. And we just spent pretty much the entire time playing Pisoy Dos.
Wow.
Yeah. So people ask me about boot camp. I'm not really the best one to give them advice for how to get through. Try to get onto ship staff. That's all I can tell you. Spend as much time away from your division as you can. And then just not be bad at marching. Because otherwise they'll make you go.
Yep. marching and push-ups and push-ups and marching and marching and push-ups.
Oh, so God damn it. Those fucking asshole drill instructors, too. They come in and I swear they put dust bunnies under the beds. Like, you'd finish sweeping and then you come back an hour later and there'd be like just handfuls of them under certain racks in different spots in the like 80 rooms. And then there's just a handful of like dust bunnies under one rack. Like,
yeah.
What did that guy do?
Yeah. You know, they had a bag stashed somewhere.
Yeah. We used to play.
Like, oh, who needs punishment today?
The pranks were the funnest part, though. Like,
oh yeah,
because you have like your little locker and you have to put all your shit in there like a special way. Your underwear has to be folded this way with the fold against this side of the thing, and it has to be up against flush against the thing. Your last name is supposed to be on your shower sandals. So we, you know, you just take a stack of like shirts and then you move it to this one. Then you take a stack of underwear and you move it up to this shelf, and it looks close enough, but the drill instructors always spot it and throw everything on the fucking floor.
Oh man.
Oh God. Fucking boot camp.
So do you have fun in the sell off the last few weeks here?
Actually, I didn't trade it too actively because
oh, that's right. You're doing the basement stuff.
Well, yeah, we had the basement work going on, which they finished up Monday and Tuesday. Monday was pretty much a full day, so I didn't do a whole lot then. I traded UB at like some specific times for another system that I've been kind of developing.
Nice.
But actually, like, kind of since I've been messing around with UB, I've actually been trading NQ like way better. And I think it's because it gives me something else to kind of focus on, to where I'm not trying to force trades on NQ. And I have some very specific things that I'm looking for with UB, so it kind of just keeps my focus off of it. And I'll glance over at NQ and be like, oh, that's a perfect 50% retrace. Sell the shit out of that. Boom. Target hit. Done.
That's a really interesting thought and perspective there.
The more I'm finding, the more I get sucked into the chart and like uber focused, the worse I do, right?
Yes. And that was part of what I was talking about, you know, just like finding my calm is part of it, is just pulling myself out of the chart.
That's a good way to put it. That's part of what I've been like focusing on. Like, well, I pick like a couple things to start the morning off with, right? Like, what am I going to be today? Today, I'm going to be patient, responsible, balanced, accepting. Those are the four that I've been sticking with for this month.
Nice.
So there's like specific things that, you know, I have to do in order to be able to check those things off. Responsible, can't take any outsized drawdowns, nothing. I respect my personal daily loss limit. That's what it is. For patient, I have to wait for the 15-minute OR to set up. Balanced, I have to be making like in tune with my thoughts and my emotions. I judge that by during that 15-minute OR. Am I engaged with the charts? Am I drawing, you know, retraces? Am I writing thoughts and emotions as they come up and kind of just identifying them? But it all kind of starts with that, like, this is who I'm going to be today, and that's going to be my goal. And I say it out loud, I write it on a piece of paper, and
right,
if I so can do that at the end
of each day in your journal, this is who I'm going to be today.
Well, it's actually just and on a piece of paper, any paper I can find, actually. Okay. Right now it's just on
Then are you going back at the end of the day and,
yep,
and going, hey, did I do this? Or
yep,
or even give yourself a grade of saying, hey, I did an A at this, or I did a C at this, I did a B at that.
Yeah, actually, I post my journals in the Discord if anybody wants to follow along. You do have to, it's kind of buried. It's in the journaling tab. Click on the threads and you find all the ones that are in there.
Okay.
But yeah, I list those out. I had broken it up into like, this is what I did well, this is where I can improve. And so then I just put the four on there. Like, if I did the four well, then I write it on there and what I did that made it good. And if there's something that I particularly struggled with, like last Thursday, I took a max daily loss limit. That's not responsible, so I can't check that box today.
Yep. I remember that conversation.
So really the idea is, if I can take care of these four, then my trading is significantly better. Okay. And one of the biggest ones on there, I think, is that balanced. Like, for me, it's been less about like trying to control emotions. Once I stopped trying to control fear, control anger, control FOMO, and just started accepting that they're there and making notes about it, and then like taking a moment to say, right, okay, I feel like I want to sell this. Why do I want to do that? Where makes sense?
So instead of trying to push them away and deny them and go, yes, I will be fearful, you know, you twist, turn it around the other side and say, okay, I'm feeling fear. Why am I feeling fear? How do I work with that?
Or is that appropriate? Is there a reason to be scared here? And if I can make those notes on the charts, if I'm engaged in doing those notes on the charts, then I have like a blueprint to go back and look at, right?
Nice.
Like, oh, hey, I was scared here, but, you know, I had all these notes about like what the setup was and what the expectations were, where it could pull back to. And as long as it hasn't done any of that, what am I scared about? Yeah. You know? So it's just having something to like, okay, you're afraid. Why are you afraid? Is that true? No, evidence right here shows it's not. Or okay, maybe it is. And in that case, you know, scratch the trade and look for something better.
Yeah, I really liked for at least a few weeks there, I was doing pretty good about, I got it from Alpha Mind. Mm-hmm. Alpha Mind 101, the mastering the mental game of trading is the 3-3-1 journal.
Okay.
You know, things I did well today. I forgot the second three. It does keep a positive focus. We've talked a lot about that.
Yeah.
You know, the words.
Three things I want to work on or I want to focus on, or
I think it was three things I can do better. And then the last one is one thing I want to improve on.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of pick that one thing that I really want to focus on. And it got really challenging to do it every day and not, and to not allow myself to just kind of cookie cutter.
Were you just trying to pick a different one every time?
Yeah, I was. Well, you know, the three and three, maybe. But the one I want to focus on, I was trying to shift that around a little bit.
I would stick with the same one for a week, 2 weeks, until you don't feel like you have to think about it anymore.
You know,
the four things that I've chosen, I haven't changed them in almost a month. And that's because I'm still having to work at it.
Wow. Okay. That's a really good idea. The thing I'm struggling with the most right now is I call it greed.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. It almost hits me. It's not a rage, but it's like a blinding rage.
Yeah.
Because when the greed sets in, I just get sucked into the chart.
Yep.
And I lose all perspective. All mm-hmm. perspective is gone. Loss limits anything. And it's just like, I would just want to, you know, chase the shiny squirrel. And I'm like, wow, what is that? And so I've spent a lot of time. I've probably let myself get a little too deep into it just because I'm sitting here going, okay, what is this feeling? And trying to catalog it and then trying to push out of it, pull out of it.
I have an idea. And this is kind of twisting something that Andrew kind of gave me. It's kind of a similar scenario. I was dealing with like indecision. Like I get scared when I'm in a position or when something like that happens and I, you know, chase myself out or I tend to make bad decisions in that. Let's just say.
I was doing that really bad.
But his suggestion was just, if you feel that, flatten the trade, just scratch it out. Then figure out what's going on, because you're going to have a much easier time trying to analyze those emotions once the thing that's causing them is no longer present.
Yeah.
I would say if you start feeling greed, like you start feeling that starting to build and, you know, you can feel like the decisions are, you're starting to get unhinged or counting the money too soon, just close the trade out.
Go back to the, you know, the when in doubt, flatten out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure I heard that from like floor traders, but yeah.
A lot of people I'm sure have said that. Andrew's point was great too. Is like, you're not in the goal right now isn't for me to make money. The goal for me right now is to follow a fucking process.
that is such an incredible challenge of how do you keep your focus on the process and ignore the results?
Well, I think you just break it down to things. Like if you want to improve the way that you work when you're feeling that greed, then maybe that be the thing that you're going to do today. Like, who am I today? Today, I'm a trader who does not make impulsive decisions based on greed.
Yeah.
And then when you feel greed, you close trades and you step away until you're not feeling it anymore.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, you can celebrate the fact that you did not let greed influence your decisions.
You know, and there's one of the other things we talked about is a 5-minute break.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here's a challenge to myself would be, hey, when I feel that way, when I break out of a trade and I realize, oh my gosh, what have I been doing? You know, this is going to be hard to make myself do,
but
it would be super helpful if I said, you know what, go sit down in your chair, get away from the screen, sit down in your chair and put on your EKG headband. And do a 5-minute session.
Oh, well, yeah, dude.
Because I can set it. Do I want 5 minutes? Do I want 10 minutes? just force myself to, hey, sit down, do a 5-minute session and calm down.
That's a brilliant idea. I fucking love that idea.
Now I got to execute.
So that's your identity, though. That's the identity that you're going to step into next week.
That is the identity I want to have. I want to be that calm trader that is focused on taking trades based on the technicals.
Yeah, that's man, you just said it. Like, that's the vision that I have for who I want to be too. And that's where the who am I going to be? That's where that came from. I was trying to break down the things that I think the trader I want to be does successfully, and those are the things that I chose to focus on. I know if I can do those four things, I'm closer to becoming that trader.
Yeah.
And then as I get better at some of them, I'll take them off and add new ones to try to bring me closer to that goal.
Yeah.
But you got to start somewhere, and don't try to eat the whole elephant in one bite, right?
Yeah. And calm is definitely my keyword. That word just brings so much out in me emotionally. Oh. So
sorry, before you go too far, there was something you said there about the moment where you look back and you think to yourself, what have I just done?
Yep.
Is that your key phrase that says, oh, I need to not trade anymore? Because whenever I say this, I know bad things happen.
Yeah, except for it's the, I've at least caught myself.
Or is it after?
Well, no, it's definitely definitely after, but it is an opportunity. And that's what I'm saying, is like when I catch myself and pull back from the charts and I'm like, woo, okay, I'm trading like crap. Why am I trading? Okay, let's stop. Let's back away.
Mm-hmm.
And let's do something else for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's giving myself, part of it is just that, I don't know how I feel about the phrase, but it's giving myself permission to step away.
Mm-hmm.
And I know just again from the results, which we're trying to get away from, but I know from the results that those mornings when I'm perfectly comfortable walking away from the charts, you know, and going over and going, oh, you know what? I should make some coffee. I should do some dishes.
Nothing's going on right now. I can step away.
Even if something's going on, but just regardless, just feeling comfortable, even if I'm in a trade of going, okay, you know, my stop's set, my target's set, I can walk away.
I feel a lot more comfortable walking away with the trade on than without. I think that's easier for me to do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's probably a sign for me of, if I feel comfortable walking away from a trade, it's a good trade.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If my mind is going, no, you have to watch this because it's going to go this and retrace on you, or it's going to come back and stop you out, and wick you out and then run, that tells me that it's a different part of my brain that's trading, not the good side.
This feels very similar to like the reason why I had to add accepting to my, who am I going to be today?
Oh,
because I felt like it wasn't greed that was causing me all of my issues. It was the problem of accepting that the trade didn't work, or my stock got hit and I'm no longer in it. Or like, that's where most of my issues came from. And if I find myself unable to accept a loss, then that's a key for me to step away for at least until I can come to grips with the fact that I no longer have this position. I'm not going to hit this take profit that looks so nice and far away. It is now rapidly approaching.
That acceptance, that's a really good one.
Yeah. For me, it was accepting the stop, accepting the fact that I flattened a trade out because I didn't like what I saw. And then it kept going my direction. Like, those are the moments that get me in the most trouble. And if I can just accept that I'm no longer in that trade anymore.
Yeah, because I've seen one of the spirals I've seen myself fall into is, you know, I'll be good and I'll have really tight loss limits set on a daily loss limits set on accounts, and I'll not turn them off. But I'll hit it and be like, oh, well, you know, that was just a fluke. And then I'll flip over to a different account.
Right.
And go, oh yeah, no, I can prove myself. And I would, if I could, if I would max out the gain on that account or have a really good day on that account, I would go, oh, see, you know, it was just a fluke. I'm good. But then if I lost that account, it would start a snowball. unless I could pull myself away and just go, oh, I'm done for the day.
God, it's so hard to be done for the day, right? I did such a good job of that until last Thursday. And like now I'm sitting here after having a really good week that would have that made back all of that loss and more. But nice. Man, how much nicer would it have been to have only eaten half of that loss? Or what a fifth of it that it should have been, you know, according to what I write down every morning.
Yep.
Like, really, it just like that's the moment I have to remember when trying to make that decision. Like, okay, I've hit personal loss limits in two accounts. Do I want to try a third one? Because now it's suddenly starting to become a bit of a deeper hole to climb out of. And maybe it's me, maybe it's not me, but I'll probably feel better about it tomorrow.
I was kind of happy in my funded account. I hit like my loss limit and it's hard coded in Top Step X. My loss limit's like 450. And I hit like 432 and I'm like, yeah, it's not happening. And I hit the manual button and I'm like, nope, lock me out. I know there's like that little worm inside my brain that's going to go, oh yeah, you can throw a single lot on NQ and it won't pull back three ticks.
Duh. I actually find I take smaller losses now that I've been like when I'm honoring that responsible attribute, like I'm 200. If I see a realized loss of $200 or more, that's supposed to be it for the account. Now I'm getting to the point where if I see like 160 on it, like, fuck it. I'll just move on to the next one. I don't want to deal with the headache of.
Yep.
But yeah, the losses getting smaller. That's step one, right?
Yeah. And that's, you know, we kind of had a conversation. I went through a long streak of saying no resets, no resets, no resets. Yeah. And then I popped the cork on that and I've let that get a little bit wild. And so that was the other thing I was thinking about at dinner tonight is going, nope, I'm going back to no resets and segregating accounts and saying, hey, this account, I can trade this week and I can trade it until it, you know, pass or fail. Mm-hmm. But then this next account, I can't trade it until next week. And the other account after that, I can't trade it until that week. Really cutting down on the accounts that I can trade.
Oh man, I kind of wouldn't mind even doing it like day of the week. Like I trade this account Monday, this one Tuesday. It'd be really interesting just to see if the stats, like if there's any particular day you're like really good at.
Oh man, you might be onto something there.
Yeah, it's kind of
because again, if it's about the process,
right?
It's not about the results, then it shouldn't matter.
Well, there's different day types, right? Your process may be better suited for more rotational type days, like more likely to happen on a Monday, Tuesday, versus more volatile days like Wednesday, Thursdays.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And I should definitely have an account that I'm only allowed to trade for M period.
You're right. I need to start doing that live again.
I did. I mean, the last, three M periods, not counting today, I was maxing out, Top Step 150 eval.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
During the M period challenge.
Yeah.
And then I would blow them up the following week.
No,
because really? I would let my loss limits go outsized. Yeah. I mean, I did pass one. I maxed it out on Friday, and then I maxed it out again on Friday or Monday and passed it. But yeah. Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
Man, there's one other thing I wanted to talk about. I don't think we got time for it because it's going to be way too open-ended. So maybe we'll save that for another one.
Okay.
Maybe that'd be a good roundtable one. Ooh. I'll tell you after the thing. All right. Well, I think we've probably rambled on for long enough. Thanks, Bear, man. This is actually a lot of fun, man. Swap a little stories.
Yeah. Hopefully other people will find it entertaining as well.
Yeah. Talk about some trading too.
Yeah.
Little sub stories too. Yeah. If you guys like this, you want to see more, just, let us know by commenting or send us a message. All the easy ways to do that are going to be in the show notes. Be back soon with more of the usual content. Until then, just have a great week. This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only, does not constitute financial or investment advice, and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals.
Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations. Produced by China Shop Productions.